Colossians chapter 1. And I'll be reading the first 14 verses of Colossians chapter 1, and we'll be focusing our attention primarily on verses 13 and 14. Listen now as the Holy Spirit speaks to us through God's own word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Father, again, we ask that you would be gracious to us and instruct us and encourage us, challenge us from this portion of your word, that we might see your Spirit righted upon our hearts, so that as we live out of the abundance of our hearts, we might do so as those who are indeed rescued from the dominion of darkness, those who have been brought into the kingdom of your beloved Son, those who know what it is to have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Think for a moment with me about what it would be like if you were a prisoner of war. Some of us have known and still do know people who have been prisoners of war. What is it like to be a POW? What do we know? Well, we know that they are those who have been captured by the enemy. We know that they are told day in and day out that they're guilty of war crimes, and therefore they deserve to be in prison. We know that they are forced to live in less desirable accommodations with less food than we would normally eat. They're prisoners of the enemy. And generally speaking, there are only three ways that a prisoner of war might be liberated. A prisoner of war might escape. A prisoner of war might be delivered. And if we think of a prisoner of war being delivered, we think of one who is set free because the powers that be negotiate a peace treaty, and he's delivered from prison. Or POW might be rescued. And we think of someone who is rescued, we think of forces coming in and overtaking the enemy so that the prisoner can be taken free. In those 13th and 14th verses, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins." Stay with me a little longer in this analogy of the POW. Often kept in a dark hole in the ground. At least the movies I've seen on television, that's where they are. Or they're in a dark, daunting room or in a barracks. I don't ever remember seeing the sun in the TV show Hogan's Heroes. Do you? Those of you who've seen it. But I do remember Hogan and those who were with him in that POW camp lived as though they weren't prisoners of war. They thought in many ways as though they were free. They had a tunnel that would take them outside of the camp, but they were still behind enemy's lines. And as we think about our own position as we come into this world, because in Adam, we all fell. There's a sense in which we are prisoners of war. We're born into the kingdom of darkness. We're born under the domain and dominion of darkness. But I would submit that for much of our lives, we live like Hogan's Heroes. We become very familiar with the darkness. We become very familiar with our enemy's ways. And we sort of enjoy them. And there are occasions when a ray of the light comes in. And as long as that ray of the light comes in and doesn't want to change us in any radical fashion, we'll welcome that light. I remember growing up in a Presbyterian church. I had a Christian world and life view. But I was headed for hell. Oh, I knew I had a creator. I knew he was the one who sustained us. The liturgy that we had in our worship services had a common confession of sin that we all said together. And then we heard the minister pray that we have forgiveness. And I was on my way, living in darkness like Hogan's Hero, thinking that all was well with my soul. And every now and then, I would be told, this is not the way a Christian would live. And I could put on the facade. And I could put on the face. And in the public, I could live the way Christians thought I should live. But when I was with those other friends of mine, I was a bird of an entirely different color. I liked that color. I only liked this when it was to my advantage, so that I could do this that those over there would say was wrong. Now, obviously, the analogy of the POWs breaks down because I wasn't living in God's kingdom and then captured into the kingdom of darkness. I was born in the kingdom of darkness, just as every other human being is born in that kingdom. And I became comfortable in that kingdom, just as most all of us become comfortable in that kingdom. Satisfying the flesh. Isn't that why we sin? Because it satisfies the flesh. But the scripture tells me that while I was a POW, a plan for my rescue, a plan for my deliverance was devised. Now, there are some people who think that POWs are able to escape. They're wrong. If you were a POW in Hogan Heroes barracks, all you could do was get outside of the confines, not outside of Germany. But here's the situation for you and me. We have claustrophobia. A 2x2 foot tunnel would not be inviting enough for us to escape. In other words, there's no way that when we begin to realize the peril in which we find ourselves as POWs living in darkness, that we can turn on the light. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit negotiated our deliverance. Before the foundation of the world, they came together and they said, of fallen humanity, we will have a people who will be delivered from dominion of darkness. Praise God that while we were yet dead in our trespasses and sin, He loved us. And He said, Son, because of my love for the world, I'm sending you. The Son said, Dad, because of my love for the world, I'm going to go and I'm going to keep your word perfectly as the first Adam couldn't do. And I'm going to go ahead and lay down my life on the cross. Nobody's going to take it. I'm going to give it up, so that my shed blood would wash away the sins of those people. And the Holy Spirit said, and when it's said and done, I'll apply it. In my love, I'll go and I'll do that effective heart transplant surgery that needs to take place, so that those who are dead in their trespasses and sin will be made alive as I take that stony heart out. Put that flesh of that heart of flesh in. And therein was the certainty of our deliverance. But He also, Jesus said, will rescue us. Remember the head crusher who took the snips of the heel by the evil one. But when He said, it is finished, the death blow was struck to the head of the captain of the prisoner of war camp, the prince of darkness. And the final blow to that wily serpent came as Jesus came out of that tomb and for 40 years was seen upon this earth and descended to be seated, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, having finished the work that His Father sent Him to do by triumphing over the devil, He secured our rescue. And that's what Paul is talking about in verses 13 and 14, isn't it? How is it that we share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light? It's because God has rescued us. And this word that's translated rescue is the word that we're taught to pray in that pattern prayer that Jesus gave us. Deliver us from the evil one. So you see, this word is deliver. This word is rescue. The covenant of redemption, the finished work of Christ. Deliverance, rescue. It's right here. And from what are we rescued? From darkness. From all that way that we thought was so right, we now recognize is so wrong. And when the light penetrated us by the grace of God after the work of the Holy Spirit to take that heart of stone out of us, what did we do? We said, lighten it all up. Every nook and cranny, show me. Show me my sin so that I may confess it, clinging to Jesus, the author or pioneer and perfecter of my salvation. And how we love the light, don't we? We love to be in this word. So that what we learn begins to direct every step of our way. Why are you doing this? Because the Bible tells me so. Why are you saying that? Because the Bible tells me so. Why do you think that? Because the Bible tells me so. I'm no longer in darkness. I'm in light. Praise be to God. How is it? Why? It's because I have. I possess. It is mine. What? Redemption and the forgiveness of sins. I have been bought back. Redeemed. Because Jesus Christ paid the price, not to the devil. Oh, there was no bargain struck between God and the devil, between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. No. The devil has always been the lackey of God and nothing other than that. He crept into his presence in the book of Job, remember? No. Our redemption was secured before the foundation of the world. When Jesus said, my blood will be paid for the remission of their sins. There it is. And it's because of that, that your sins and my sins are forgiven. Oh, we praise God for so great a salvation. And so, I'm told, and I'll go ahead and say it because you'll probably know who it is anyway. When Chuck Sterrett went to seminary after being a prisoner of war, do you know what his classmates made him do? He was not permitted to go into the kitchen. Because when Chuck went to the kitchen, he ate and he ate and he ate and he ate because he was free to eat. Brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity to delight together in the meal that Jesus has given us that shows forth His death until He comes again. Don't you want to eat? Would to God we would be more like Chuck, who look forward to eating at the table of the Lord as even now He sits at that great banquet. No, I'm not going to put a big plug in for more frequent communion. I'm just going to put a little one in. We commune every time we gather to worship. But the Word and the sacraments go together. We think upon the One who's rescued us. We think upon the One who's taken us from darkness and put us in light. We think upon the One who has redeemed us and our sins are forgiven. Why wouldn't we want to come and say, "And here it is"? For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until He comes. Herein is our sustenance in Christ Jesus, the One who loved us and gave Himself for us, the One who is coming back for us. And we look, oh, so eagerly for that day when He will usher in the new heavens and the new earth. And the table that He prepares for us now in the presence of our enemies, we will sit at for all eternity in the presence of our brothers and sisters. Amen. Let's pray. Father, how we delight in what You've done for us and what You've given to us to help us remember what You've done for us. We thank You for the milk. We thank You for the meat. We thank You for the message of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And we pray, our Father, that we would enjoy that blessing that You promise Your people who do indeed eat Your flesh and drink Your blood, Lord Jesus, to the praise and glory of Your name. We pray. Amen. It's in 1 Corinthians 11 that we have the institution of this meal that Jesus gave to His disciples. Verses 23 and following. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. Anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. The Lord gives us this sacrament to enjoy as those who understand the Lord in the sacrament and understand our relationship with those about us as we partake of the sacrament. Each one of you here who will be coming to the table has made a credible profession of faith. And so the Word reminds us that as we look at ourselves, it's our responsibility, again, to know that Jesus is the one who is alive and well within us because He's rescued us. We're in His light. We're redeemed and we're forgiven. And we're on current accounts with those around us. And as such, we come confidently that the means of grace are with and for us as we partake of the bread and of the cup. And we will grow to be more like Him whom we remember as we do partake of the bread and the cup. So turn with me, please, in the book of Psalms for singing. Psalm 616, the B selection. I still believed, although I said, how sorely I am tried. And then we come down to stanza 8. To thee thank offerings I'll bring, and on Jehovah call. We had the privilege of welcoming one into the communicant membership of the congregation this morning. And the fifth query is the one in which we speak about diligently reading the Bible, engaging in prayer, regularly attending the worship service, observing the appointed sacraments, keeping the Lord's Day, and giving the Lord work as He prospers us. I'll pay my vows now to the Lord before His people all. We have an opportunity to live that which we promise in that fifth query, to enjoy the sacrament of the Lord's Supper.